To take a look at those pictures later. You'll never believe how young I was. And it's interesting, isn't it, when little kids can look at a picture and they can say, oh, there's my mommy. No, that's actually your Grandma Julie. You know what I mean, Cindy? Yeah. Tonight we could spend all our time, because we've been studying Revelation, looking at Revelation 7. But I want us to focus on the Beatitudes, which is the overture to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is the symphony. The blessings, the Beatitudes, are found in Matthew's Gospel, Sermon on the Mount, one of five teaching sections, and also found in the Gospel of Luke. But there it's not the Sermon on the Mount. There it's the Sermon on the Level Plain. And there are four blessings, and there are four woes. Blessed are you poor. Yours is the kingdom. Blessed are, no, woe. Woe are you who are rich. Right? You see, there's a difference in Luke. In the Gospel of Matthew, I want you to notice tonight, as you have already heard the Gospel reading, that those eight Beatitudes plus the bonus summary number nine, they really are taking us to the foot of the cross. We could actually call it the Sermon in the Valley as much as the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, if you look carefully at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, all of those commands and teachings of Jesus, who is the great commander-in-chief, when it gets heavy, you are always brought back to that first word, the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not will be, might be, could be, should be, but is right now, right here. That's why we're blessed. Not because we've earned it. We're poor in spirit. We got nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Rock of ages, cleft for me. You know that song, right? That's the poor in spirit. We got nothing to get pat on the back about. We got no accolades that we accumulate. We are poor in spirit. And it's the ones who are poor in spirit who have nothing to offer God, the ones who are so low in that valley, that are lifted up and exalted by the grace of God alone. We know what it means to get mercy. And so blessed are the merciful, because we got the merciful one as our Lord. You see the difference between saying, well, if you're merciful, then you're going to get mercy, compared to, because you are a God child, you got mercy, and therefore, because your Heavenly Father lives in you, that mercy of God, it's going to flow through you. So not prescriptive as much as descriptive, and even better, performative. These Beatitudes are performative. They are promise-giving. They are life-giving. Why? Because who speaks the word? Jesus. These are not just words from any ordinary somebody. Salvation belongs to the Lord, Revelation 7. You see, the one who is speaking these words of promise in the Beatitudes that can be heard as all kinds of demands and oughts and shoulds and commands is the promising one. The one who has already bound himself to you in love and favor on the cross. The merciful one for you. You and me, who are poor in spirit. There's a story. I could tell you some of my own, but this is one I read. And I could relate because I had an elderly woman out in the congregation I served in Tacoma who fell prey to this. She had a gambling addiction, and then she started pilfering from the funds of where she worked. It became embezzlement. She ended up in prison. Well, here's a young man, the story says, who is working for a firm, but he's been pilfering and embezzling, and they catch him with his hand in the cookie jar. So he is called into a meeting with the lead partner of the firm. He knows his goose is cooked. He knows that his job is gone. He can only hope that there won't be litigation and that he's not going to have to go to prison. He comes in, and this lead partner of the firm says, "I've got a question. Is it true? Have you been stealing money from the very place where you work? Is it true?" And the young employee says, "It's true. I'm guilty. It's my fault, my own fault." And the lead partner of the firm looks at the young employee and says, "I have a question for you. If you were to continue in this workplace, would you continue to steal and do what you've done in the past?" And the young employee said, "No. I would never do it because I have learned. I've learned my lesson and the wrong that I've done. I can promise you that it would never happen again." And so the lead partner of the firm said, "Then you're going to continue in this firm in your present position. And I want you to know something. You're not the first person. You're the second person who has been tempted and fallen prey to stealing from this place. I was the first. I give you mercy because that's what was given to me. Apart from the grace of God, neither of us has a prayer." Blessed are they, the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they, full of sorrow. They shall be consoled. Rejoice and be glad. Blessed are you. Holy are you. Rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of God. Mercy. Mercy for you. Jesus went up onto a mountain, and the disciples came, and he opened his mouth saying, "Holy ones, you're blessed." Do you know it? Do you feel it? Do you see how blessed you are? Not because you've accumulated all kinds of wealth, not because you've got a stockpile for retirement, not because your house is paid off, not because your health is fabulous, not because you're a Cubs fan and you won the World Series. No, you're blessed. You know why you're blessed? I'll tell you why you're blessed. Because God could use something as ordinary as water and as powerful as his word, Jesus. And he could wash away every bit of your sin and make you pure and clean and righteous. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You're going to be satisfied. You know what it means to hunger and thirst for righteousness? Revelation 7, Jesus is the good shepherd. He shelters us. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. You can't ask for any more. He's everything. Hunger, thirst, for God's will to be done. Because God's will shall be done. And as you hunger and thirst for it, you participate in it. Rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of God. Oh, isn't God wonderful and sweet indeed? Think about these Beatitudes. Some people have taken the first four, and they said they're kind of passive, and the next four are active. And some people have said, well, if you look at them, they talk about how you're kind of unworthy and unfit, and you have nothing. So the unmeriting, God's on their side. And those who care for those who are with nothing find themselves on whose side? God's side. That's the beautiful thing about the Beatitudes, this overture to the symphony of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's not about God being on my side. It's about you and me being on His side. Pure in heart. Full of God's mercy. And bestowing that mercy in a world that needs it desperately. You know the name Heinz? Not like Heinz ketchup. But Heinz as in a little boy that was 11 years old going up in Bavaria, 1934. You could imagine being in that German area, what life was like if you were 11. Your name was Heinz. You were a Jewish boy. And this anti-Jewish sentiment that was being pushed by Hitler, and they had these young Hitler youth corps. Hate, hate, hate. I mean, millions of people died. And here was Heinz. And his father lost his job because he was a Jewish teacher. And life was hard for them. And then kids were bullying him. And so as an 11-year-old, when you would have this youth corps that was a part of the Hitler youth group kids, Heinz learned that if he got in their paths, he was going to get beat up. So he learned to walk on the other side of the street. And even that wasn't good enough sometimes, because they would come in their packs and they'd come after him. But one day, Heinz learned that God gave us words for a reason. And he was able to visit with these antagonists, these other boys, these ruffians. And you know what he did? There wasn't a punch that was thrown. And then by the grace of God, Heinz and his family, they got out of Bavaria. They were able to come to the United States. And years passed. And this young boy that had learned the gift of reconciliation and the gift of blessed are those who wage peace. They shall be called God's child, sons, daughters of the greatest peacemaker of all. And so Heinz, he ended up getting a job in our country. Henry Kissinger, an ambassador of peacemaking. Blessed are you. Holy are you. Not holier than thou, but blessed and holy. God does not choose you because you're so good. It is the goodness of God that chooses you and then empowers you to participate in the distribution of His goodness. Blessed are you, holy are you, God child. That's who you are, God child, blessed. In 1986, Stephen McDonald, who was on the police force in New York, went with two other police officers to Central Park because there were some teenagers, 15, 16-year-olds, that were robbing and stealing bikes. And they cornered them and they got them. But as Stephen MacDonald went over to the one youth, 15-year-old, a young man named Jones, this 15-year-old pulled out a gun, bang, bang, bang. And one of the bullets hit Officer MacDonald in the head, one in the neck, and one in the spine. The other officers were able to get him taken in an ambulance to the hospital. And miraculously, she survived. But as you can probably imagine with those three bullets, a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the neck down, on a breathing tube all the time. The doctor said to his wife, Patty, he had only been married for 8 months. She was expecting their first child. Stephen MacDonald was in a family of police officers, third generation. They said, you need to put him in a care facility. You'll never be able to take care of him like this at home. Active members of a Roman Catholic church. And the priest was walking with them during this horrendous time. And the people in that parish, they said, Patty, you don't have to put Stephen in a facility. If you want him to be at home, you need to know that we are here with you. Not just for a week or a day, not just for a month or a year. We are with you as long as you need us. Because that's what the family of God is. And so, 18 months of rehabilitation. And then their little boy was born, you know. Little Connor, and after the 18 months, they were able then to have his baptism there in that Catholic parish. And it was at that point that Stephen came to realize, because of the faith God had given him, that if he was to have hope and a future, it could be found only with forgiveness. And so Stephen forgave this Jones, this young man. And the young man, even though he never met Stephen, had repented of his wrongdoing and had also asked for forgiveness. After 9 years of being in prison, Jones was released. 24 years old. And 3 days after he was released, he was killed in a motorcycle accident. And Stephen's son, Connor, at that point was now in third grade. And he said to his teacher in school, the man who shot my father and paralyzed him, he was killed in a motorcycle accident. Can we have prayer for him and his family? And the teacher in that school said, yes, we can. And they prayed. Stephen continues to this day, in his late 50s now, going to elementary schools, going to high schools, speaking to kids about the power of God's love and forgiveness. Mercy. It's impossible to show it, to give it, unless we know that we are poor in spirit, that we have nothing apart from Christ, absolutely nothing. And now, little Connor, 29 years old, on the police force, fourth generation. A young man of faith, and a young man who knows that those who are blessed share that blessing in public service to others. That's who we are. That's what we do. We let our light shine before others that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. How do I know that? Because Jesus told me. And he told you. He did. He does. It's right there in the Sermon on the Mount. You know who Jesus is. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And he's the one. He's the one who breathes those blessings upon you. Inhale it. And breathe it on others also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.